Once again, I'll say once again, if you allow me to just introduce myself. Okay, I'm Pastor Jonathan, pastor of the house. Sometimes people ask, okay, what's the name of the pastor? Okay, I keep low profile, it's okay. All right, now, we are in this series called Gospel Explained, and we're going through the book of Romans. Okay, say with me, Romans. Okay, so are you all reading the book of Romans? Okay, now, I was saying that book of Romans is so rich. Okay, the only way that we can get more and understanding is to layer it, all right? So in this five block, we are in this third block, okay, Gospel Life, which we're going through Romans 7 and 8, all right? So moving forward in the Gospel Life 7 and 8, last week, okay, I talked about conflict of desire, remember? So I talked about, what is it? Number one, that is, what is it about the law? Yes? One is, the first law is about you are free from the law, all right? Now, the second part I talk about the purpose of the law. But the third part was the conflict, okay? The conflict that's inside us, okay? Today, we're going to look at life in the Spirit on chapter 8, verse 1 to 17. Next week, okay? Next week, we're going to have a new preacher up here, all right? So you're going to hear from him, okay? Now, then I'll come back and talk about, okay, the last part of Romans 8. Now, Romans 8, okay? Just reading the four verses, okay? Read with me, 1, 2, 3. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, but by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Sometimes you read just like, wow, what is it all about? Okay, so we're going to layer it as much as we can so that, okay, we bring understanding to the word. Hopefully, okay, with that, it translates us, okay, to continue honor God, okay, and make disciples. So last Sunday, when we talked about conflict, it's about the struggle inside us, all right? So we all experience that. So in other words, times when you see yourself fall, you see yourself fail or stumble in many ways, and Paul talked about the new nature in us, all right? So it just reflects some of the last few verses, okay? When Paul talked about, for I do not understand my own action, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate, all right? Verse 19 says, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, when Paul was writing that, I was just wondering, Paul was using the first pronoun. He's talking about himself. He was using the syllable I, you know, talking about himself. Sometimes we look at our own, the struggle that's inside us, okay, the two nature. And then we end by the verse 24, 25, which I give you the three handles. That number one is that be honest, okay? Because Paul says, wretched man that I am. He recognized who he is. So all of us, you got to recognize where you are. So because that is the first step, okay, to your victory. And then he asks the next question, who will deliver me from this body of death? Okay, which means he come to a place of humility. Okay, he needed help. Verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's where he said, wow, I got to be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second part, which I did not say much, but he says here, so then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, and with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. It's like going back, wow, again, there's this conflict, okay, inside him. Now, we're going to go into chapter 8, and that is the turning point. How many of us realize that the past seven chapters that we have gone through or discover, explore, and all those, then we talk about sin, the law, disobedience. So there's so much thing about the human nature. Friends, chapter 8 is the turning point. Okay, now, the turning point where Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is not saying that there is no cause for condemnation. Because, you think about it, if you reflect, if God were to look down at all of us, friends, we got a lot of things that God can condemn us. You agree with me? All right? It will go down to every single thing that we do on this earth. Friends, I tell you that there's plenty of reason, okay, to be condemned.
But with all that, okay, Paul is also not saying that we do not have any struggle, there's no failure, no stumbling block for whatever. You name it, okay, there could be thousands, okay, of mistakes or problems that we have. But Romans 8 make all the difference. Okay, what's the difference? Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation. But what is the meaning of condemnation? Have you ever condemned someone? Oh, sometimes you ask, who give you the right to condemn someone? All right, now, just thinking about this, okay? What is condemnation? Easy as when something is condemned, talking about material things, condemned. You say, this one are condemned already. What does that mean? It's beyond repair. Beyond is Hokkien. Beyond repair. Cannot rescue anymore. Condemn, you throw it away. Because cannot be used anymore. Cannot be repaired at all. If you were to turn to dictionary, it will be something explained like damnatory sentence, penalty, curse, disapproval, doomed to suffer, eternal punishment. These are some of the words you can find, okay, in dictionary. But when you say someone is condemned, what would that mean? That means beyond rescue, beyond help. Sad, right? If someone is being condemned. Now, side note about this is that in reality, okay, do we actually can have a problem-free life? Think about it. No, right? We all kind of struggle and that we go through, all right? Struggle, difficulties, all the way I'm trying to think, okay? Discouragement, oppression, hardship, sickness, trial, tribulation, all that you can name. Okay, in reality, we cannot really live a problem-free life. But the truth is this, through all those I mentioned, struggle, difficulties, discouragement, oppression, hardship, sickness, trial, tribulation, all those that we can name. Let me tell you, the good news is that God wants us to live a victorious life. Amen? Through all those, you know that, man, we cannot do anything, but it's where we come to God. We need God. Have a good amen. Amen. All right, now. So with that, to understand Romans 8 today for the first, okay, 17 verses that I'm going to cover, okay, I'm going to put it into two parts. The first part, verse 1 to verse 4, I'm going to talk about no condemnation. No condemnation, what does that mean? Continue. Okay, verse 5 to 17, life in the Spirit. With that, I'm going to talk about the what and why, and then the second one, what and how. All right, so this is where we are heading. All right, now, let's go. Okay, number 1, part 1, 4 verses. There is no condemnation, which also means is, why is there no condemnation? Because based on these 4 verses, allow me to give you 3 reasons, okay? 3 reasons why there is therefore no condemnation. Number 1, because you are in Christ. Because the very verse says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because you have taken the step, okay, to come, okay, to the presence of God, to receive Jesus as who He is, okay? He's our Lord and Savior, and now you belong to Jesus Christ. Okay, there is, therefore, now no condemnation. Okay, believing Him, okay, that Jesus saved you from this damnation. Now, when Jesus saved you, He didn't say that He will take away your problem. How many of us realize that? When Jesus saved you, He didn't say, take away the storm. The storm's still coming, raining's still coming, earthquake is still there, war is still there. Can you see that? All right, so when God saved you, He saved you from damnation, okay, in hell. Okay, even in your problem, in your struggle, in your failure that you go through, when you come to Jesus, there is no condemnation. Of course, you don't continue to sin. That's why when you read the gospel, okay, any of the sinners that came or He came to them, okay, even like the adulterous woman and all those, Jesus said, you go, sin no more. Okay, from that point onwards, sin no more. Okay, a second chance, okay, that was given. Okay, a life of second chance, okay, was given. And in the midst of my Every Nation Seminary Master Program, okay, this 8 weeks, we are talking about the gospel, okay, interestingly, right now. So the definition of gospel that we are asked to memorize. And when I memorize again and again, wow, it brings a lot of reflection, okay, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, it says that the gospel is the good news. God
became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived, died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God, offered the gift of salvation and the forgiveness, okay, of sin to everyone who repents and believes in him. Wow, just three sentences, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, all right? Now, I want you to repeat with me. I mean, we're going to say this a few times today, all right? Now, let's do it. One, two, three. The gospel is the good news. God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived, died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God, offer the gift of salvation and the forgiveness to everyone who repents and believes in him. Wow. Can you see that when Paul says that there is no more condemnation because for those who are in Christ, of what God has done for us, the gospel, okay, the good news. All right, now, second reason is that because the law of the Spirit of life is at work in our life. Now, what does that mean? All right, let's go to verse 2, okay? For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For the past 7 chapters, we talk about, okay, the law, okay, of the sin and death, and compared to the gospel, okay, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice when we read this in verse 2, there's two laws that is always operating, okay, which is the law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death. So, when you read this, it says that the law of the Spirit has set you free. So, that means this law of Spirit cancel the law of sin and death, or it supersede, because now you no longer live at this side. Now, you have come, belong to Christ, so the law of the Spirit is supposed to operate in your life. But the choice is still in your hands. If you choose to go and park yourself under the law of sin, then you are subject to that, right now. Let me unpack a bit more. How many of you recognize the law of gravity? Yeah, okay. Now, what can supersede the law of gravity? The law of aerodynamics. Why the plane can fly? Can you fly? I believe I can fly. Okay, now. The law of aerodynamics supersede the law of gravity. We all know, you take out something, you place it, it will drop. All right? So, that is the law of gravity. You cannot go to a certain place and you jump and thinking that you can overcome, okay, the law of gravity. No. But when you study the law of aerodynamics, that is where you also study how the plane fly. Okay, the law that takes the plane, lift it up. Okay, the pressure that they learn, low pressure, high pressure, lift, weight, drag, and push. Okay, the law of aerodynamics, okay, that takes the plane up. Otherwise, any of you understand why the plane takes off? Because of the angels that carry the plane. All right? The law of aerodynamics, okay, that supersedes the law of gravity. So when the law of aerodynamics is functioning or operating, does the law of gravity exist? Yes. So sometimes in our mind, when we think about the law of spirit that has set you free, yes. But the law of sin and death is still operating. So the choice that placed in our hand, okay, whether you want to live under the law of the Spirit of life or you still want to stay in the law of sin and death, although Jesus already died on the cross, the choice is still in our hands. Can you get it? All right, now. The third reason, because of the death of Jesus Christ has condemned the very thing that who have condemned us. What will condemn each and every one of us? The very sin that we commit. Right? So, when we read the verse, it says, for God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. We can't save ourselves. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So, that's why Jesus has to come, die the death that we should die in our place, because sin has to be condemned. Jesus took the sin and hang on the cross, and the sin is being condemned. So that work has been done as completed. Right? So the very thing that the devil wants to accuse you, it's already done with. So we don't go back. We don't go back to the life that we used to have. Now, by saying so, in other words, the law that we have been talking about, the law of death and sin, is or the law or the Moses, the law of Moses that tell us, last week I talked about the Ten Commandments, all those, law of Moses, there are many more in that sense, The law itself is powerless because its function, we talk about the purpose of the law, is to reveal sin. So the law show us, when we look at the mirror, what do we see? So with that, the law itself revealed to us our condition. The law can never redeem us. It's just to show us where you are right now. I give you the example, like the mirror shows us how you look like. The machine, CT scan and all those to tell you what's in your body, which is already there. It's just to show you, all right? Now, he cannot save you. The machine scan, there's a tumor. He cannot, change the tumor away. No, because the machine is just to scan, our condition, all right? Now, so in this verse, what the law could not do, God can. How? God sent his own son in the likeness of a sinful man. That's what it means. So bring all the sin of the world to be an offering, to be a sacrifice, and nailed to the cross. Died, buried, the day he rose again. All right? So why is it that we are not condemned? All that Jesus has done. Because Jesus has condemned, the sin. Now, with that, how then? How are we to do? We are now, to walk, according to the Spirit. That is where in verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We can easily walk in the flesh. Yes? To eat or not to eat. To fast or not to fast. To pray or not to pray. To come or not to come. All right? So, this war, that will always incite us. So in other words, God wants us to live a spirit-filled life. How many of us realize that the moment you come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that means you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to work in our life. The Holy Spirit part is to change, ourselves, our inside out. That is where when you used to fail, now you depend on the Lord Jesus Christ or allow the Holy Spirit, you find success. Right? The very thing that knocks you down will not knock you down anymore because when you choose to surrender to God and live a spirit-filled and powered life. So with that, let's go to this second part. What does it mean, life in the Spirit? We're going to explore, verse 5 to 17. All right, now, in this section that we're going to look at, beside all the passages in the Bible about the Holy Spirit, let me tell you this portion of Book of Romans, there is no other chapter, it mentioned of the Holy Spirit as much as Romans chapter 8. It's like this part is the heartbeat, of the Bible, what it means to be, to have, the life in the Spirit, all right? Now, so with that, what is the life in the Spirit? Now, let me just give you three myths, Is it, number one, is it life in Spirit is about rules? Is rules important? Yes, of course, I already tackled that. Now, our Christian life is not just about set of rules, or those rules are good, It's okay to have rules, but life in the Spirit is not just about the rules. That doesn't mean that we nullify rules, Our Christian life seems like it's about the do and the don'ts. It seems like, But that's not the main thing, because if we go into the, everything's about rules, and then we live a life of legalism, legalistic, right now. But it's something more important. So it's not just about the rules. Life in the Spirit, yes, about rule, but it's not just about the rule. What about formula? How many of you like formula? No? Formula One? I like formula. We solve a lot of issues right now. We used to give you how to have a meaningful devotional life. In our life group setting, we do the DUA, all right? That is three steps: D, discover; U, understand; A, application. It makes our life easy when we, whenever we share a message, okay, do an understanding of the passage. I can also give you four steps of, there's another four step of devotional life, S-O-A-P. How many of you do S-O-A-P? S for scripture, O for observation, A for application, P for prayer. Nice, right? I mean, how do I do devotion? Just do S-O-A-P. What's your scripture today? What do you observe? Do your D-U-A. Then you apply. Then you pray. Very good. All right. Now, how many of you heard about A-C-T-S? X. Four step to an effective prayer. How to pray? Pastor, how to pray? Oh, let's do A-C-T-S. A for adoration. Okay. C for confession. T for thanksgiving. S for supplication. Done. Praise the Lord. So when you come every day in these 40 days, how do you? Oh, adoration. I love Jesus first. I praise Jesus first. Jesus, I adore you. I praise you and all those. See, confession. Oh, Lord, what I have done this week. Okay, you do a confession. Say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then you continue to commit whatever needs that you have. Easy, right? Even for our church, we talk about making disciples. How do we make disciples? It is our four E's, okay? Engage and then establish and then equip, empower. Okay, so we put in the steps, okay, for everyone to follow, formula. But if life spirit is all about formula, no, all right? All those are very, okay, important, okay? It helps us, it guides us, it grows. But we know that to believe in Christ is not just about formula. What about if life in the spirit is about experience? Yeah, it may seem, but do you only live on experience? What if there's no experience? What happened to your Christian life? Some people live by seeking for an experience. When there's no experience, they do not know how to function. So, for example, do you want to be usher? I know experience. Do you want to serve this area? I know experience. Do you want to serve the kids? I know experience. Okay, so many people are looking for experience and then they could serve. Some are seeking for a deep, moving, emotional, earth-shaking kind of experience in order to serve God. But is that so? Can you think about it? It's not. It's very nice to say, okay, earth-shaking. One example in the Bible in Acts 16, earth-shaking. You want to have earth-shaking? First, you got to preach the gospel. Number two, you got to get arrested. Number three, they put you in prison. And then you praise God, and the earth shake. Earth-shaking experience, all right? So, friends, if you think about that, all the emotionals up and down and all those are a roller coaster. Is experience matter? Yes. But it's not just about that, all right? So, help us to think about so that we don't start on rules, formula, and experience. But what is the life of, okay, the Spirit? So, we're going to look at the following verses. Okay, what is it? Or, okay, about. Okay, so now, how to live according to the Spirit? Number one is with a new mind. We're going to look at verse 5, okay, to verse 8, okay, what the Bible says. Okay, for those who live according to the flesh, set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their mind, okay, on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind, okay, on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you want to live, have a life in the Spirit, sometimes you're just thinking of spirit, okay, now. You start with the new mind. How you set a new mind, you renew, okay, your mind, okay, you have this choice, okay, A is to live according to the flesh, B is to live according to the Spirit, right? Now, live according to the Spirit means to the flesh means you set your mind, okay, on the flesh. You live on the Spirit, you also set your mind on the Spirit. So the mind, all of us need, okay, to have a new mind, because this flesh and spirit is always opposed one another. Your mind, got to set it right. That's why having a right mindset is important. We have this talk, okay, Casey gave, that was a very good talk. In fact, most places are talking about it, whether you're having a fixed mindset, growth mindset, all right, it's a choice, okay, that each one got to make. Okay, so these both are always opposing one another. The spirit is on one side, the flesh is on the other side, and we have no escape. in every situation you're in, there's always this scenario they are in that you are fighting, okay, with. Okay, just I was saying that inside you, there's this Mr. Sin, and there's also this Mr. Sin. Okay, when you, or if you are female, then inside you is this Miss Saint and Miss Sin. Okay, you're missing somewhere. All right, some of you are looking for your miss, but it's missing. Okay, now, I always give this example about if you have two dogs, which one is stronger? The one that you feed. So, flesh and spirit, which one is stronger in your life? It's the one you feed. If you keep feeding your life with all the rubbish, your flesh is stronger. And if you're not feeding your spirit, okay, with the word of God, then you can imagine the life that you are taking. Your lifestyle will speak a lot. So you feed on Jesus, you feed on the Holy Spirit, it gives you the new way of thinking. Just like today, many people are struggling with this secular or humanistic worldview versus biblical worldview. It's a big challenge, okay, today. Okay, boy or girl. All right, so all kind of this world secular humanistic view want to challenge, okay, the Bible worldview. So today's worldview has gone topsy-turvy, explained that it is, okay, the world can't see who is male and female, okay, anymore. True or false, genuine and fake. Some of the things that always pop up in the Facebook is gray or blue. The skirt gray or blue, okay, the shoe gray or blue. Huh? So this mind has become corrupted and blinded, all right? So sometimes when you ask, okay, this, just switch a bit, asking you, how do you love God? The Bible tells us to love God with all your heart, right? Can you love God with all your mind? Okay, so the scripture says, okay, now, most important, this is asking how to love God, right? So Jesus answered, the most important, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Because in this passage, you're going to talk about, have a new set of mind. Sometimes, yes, we love God with all our heart, yes, our soul, yes. What about your mind? Have you ever renewed our mind or stay corrupted? So then we all your strength. So mind is one of that we got to renew our mind. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. All right, now, renew and transform through the word of God. And there is no shortcut. I wish there is shortcut, but there's no shortcut. Everywhere we go, we drive, we want shortcut, right? So we see the building just next, but you need to take one big round, okay, to get to the place. The day we were trying to get to the cafe, but have to drive one round, okay, to park there. Okay, find the lorong, okay, to go in. So I used to teach this many, many years ago, which is how to have a good grasp or good grip, okay, the Bible. There are many ways. If you were to hear five fingers, all right, can I have... Nah, come. It's like that. When you come to life, life will always challenge you. If you only hear the word... No, the last finger, okay? Hear the word, You only hear the last finger, right? Last finger, okay, now. So, if you only hear only... Cannot, right? You only hear. You won't stay, all right? Now, you start reading. That's why now I ask you, start reading. Two steps you're taking, all right? Also cannot. Okay, maybe you want to grip like that. Maybe you got strong finger, so maybe cannot. Okay, all right. Now, the third one, you start to study. Okay, three, at least a more support. Okay, a more support, okay? Now, then now you move to memorize. Whoa, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Also can, all right? Also can. Then you start to meditate, okay? You start to meditate, okay? Five fingers now. Now you start to meditate, you have a better grips. Friend, it becomes stronger when you choose to obey and you apply. You have a good grip. Yep. So now, if the devil wants to come and snatch from you, there's no way because you have a good grab. Okay, all right, okay. All right, I understand. Let's give Ned a big hand. So, there's no shortcut. You got to renew your mind. The only way is still the Bible. There's no shortcut. Your devotional life. We can tell you, pastor can tell, leaders can tell you, it's still, you have to discipline, okay, yourself, okay, to do so. That's where you apply the word of God. Amen? So, again, What is the gospel? Read with me. 1, 2, 3. The gospel is the good news. God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived, died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God, offers the gift of salvation and forgiveness to everyone who repents and believes in him. Amen. Second one. Okay, with a new nature, 9 to 11. I'm jumping, registering the time. Okay, now, verse 9 to 11. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in the fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to the mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Sometimes you think about Apostle Paul. Hey, you see Chinese, why he repeats so many times and trying to say the same thing? All right, now. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that if you are a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God dwells in you. In other words, that is the mark of a genuine Christian. That means allowing the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, allow Holy Spirit to work in our life. Now, it simply means the dwell in you, means simply the Holy Spirit lives within you, dwells within, stay inside, dwelling. Where's your dwelling? You don't tell people, where do you stay? But you don't use the word, where do you dwell? Where's your dwelling? You always say, where do you stay? Okay, right, there you dwell. So it means stay, the place that you stay. So Holy Spirit dwell means stay inside us, not outside, not beside, but inside. Okay, so as literal it is, all right? So the moment you choose to believe in Jesus, it means when you say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart, okay, to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Okay, so God dwells in you, including, okay, the Holy, okay, Spirit. Just like, unpack that for you, if you were to rent a place, the moment you sign your tenancy agreement, pay your 2 months deposit, some ways like that, right? Your first month payment, 3 months, the key given to you, that moment, open, you can go in, right? The moment you receive Jesus Christ, that's where Jesus come into your life. The moment you say yes to Jesus. That's where in 1 Corinthians, okay, that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. That moment, all right? Now, the old has passed away, behold, okay, the new has come. So when he says that spiritually your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness, it's what the Holy Spirit makes, okay, your spirit come alive. Although the seed of death already planted the body because of the sin nature. But again, okay, when the Spirit of God comes into you, your spirit comes alive, and that's where you become God conscious. Okay, good, amen? All right, now, moving forward, Okay, let's go on to the next one. Third one. A new identity. First, how to live in having a life of spirit. Number one, Paul is talking about having a new mind. Second, a new nature, because now you have a new nature. Old nature is the sin nature. Now you have the Holy Spirit. It's a new nature now. Okay, Holy Spirit living in you. Third one, now with a new identity. Verse 14, okay, to 17. Okay, then we're going to close. All right, now. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. And by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So in this third one, capturing all the recurrence. Okay, so we see new mind, all the recurrence. Second one is the new nature of the who's dwelling in you. Third one is that you have a new identity. You are now sons of God. And sometimes you come to church, hey brother, where's sister? I know sometimes you go by your mama, hey bro, roti canai satu. Okay, I understand that. All right, now here Paul is saying when you live in the spirit of God. Your mind, your mind are set on a thing of spirit. Now you have a new nature in God. Now that which is Holy Spirit dwells in you. Now God gives you a new identity. Now there are two different phrases was being used. One is that you are led by When you are led by the Spirit of God, son of God or children of God, what does that mean? It talks about your relationship with God. Are you able to say that you are son of God? Am I able to say I'm son of Lim? Because my surname is Lim. Because of the relationship, you're born into the family. We are talking about physical family. So in the spiritual family, also the same. So when you're born in Christ, that's why when you are Christian, Christian, A-I-N, all right? So somehow we carry, take that just a way to say, you carry, okay, the surname of Christ, although that's not the surname, all right, now, theologically, okay, now. So in that sense, we bear the name, okay, of our Lord Jesus Christ, your relationship with God. If you were to talk about where you are in your relationship with God, good, no good, strong, no strong, strong or weak, I like to use the whenever I speak to you, is what kind of Christian you want to be? A, so-so. B, weak. C, strong. I was giving a devotion in MGS Chapel, right? So I say, in my life, I have no one has ever come to me and said, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to be a so-so Christian. Gola. No way, all right? So you want to be one, better be strong, because God has given us a new identity. You are no longer, okay, the son of Satan, all right? Son, you are now son of God. You're no longer in the flesh, but now you're spirit. When I say that you are no longer son of Satan, do you know? Before you know Christ, it sounds like, wow, Pastor is so aggressive. Huh? It's in the word, not I say one. It's just that we do not know. Okay, we have a Bible, turn to John chapter 8. I didn't put up there. Sunday I talk about it. Okay, now, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 44. Don't buy this number. Okay, now. Okay, John 8, 44. Look at this, John 8, 44. Jesus said, if you have a Bible that read letters, that means John has recorded what Jesus says. Okay, so John 8, 44 says, you are of your father, the devil, and your desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Serious, no? Sometimes when we look at it, whether we're treating God's word true or not. Yeah, so Paul is saying right now, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons. So when you come to God the Father, for us, in our prayer, say our Father in heaven. But you go to different culture, different language they use. Wow, the way they call, oh, Bapa, Bapa di Shogra, Bapa Saya. So the way they address who God is, Father. So sometimes we just say our Father in heaven, but do you really mean that's your Father in heaven? It's by the tone, by the conviction inside your relationship in Christ. You no longer live, okay, in the flesh, but now in the spirit. Amen? All right? So a quick run through, okay, when I talk about you are, what does it mean by you are, what does it mean, son of God? Just a run through, that in verse 14, you are led by the Spirit. If you're a son of God, you are led by the Spirit of God. Okay, number two, if you are a son of God, you are no longer living in fear. Imagine, right? I mean, like now, your father with you, you go alone, oh, no way. Now your father leads you. So you no longer go alone, you are now led. Okay, now in those days you go, you're scared. Now your father go with you. Okay, now, so you do not receive, okay, the spirit of slavery, but to fall back into fear, right? So you're no longer living with fear. Number three, you have the right, okay, to call Abba Father. Okay, the name to call. Can you simply go and call other people's father? You come back, instead of calling your father in the house, you go and call your neighbor, hey, father. cannot, all right. So you go short. Since when you become my son? Okay, now. You receive assurance of salvation. Of course, whoever you feel nice, okay, if somebody call your father, all right, now. But you have to cover a lot. Okay, now, you receive assurance of salvation, so which means now you are children, you are protected. Okay, now. Fifth one, you are heir of God, you belong to God's family.
So can you see the privileges, okay, that was given, okay, being the son? You have a new identity, all right? So that is the radical change can ever happen in your life when you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I have, you can come back, all right, now. So with that radical change, which means, just now when I read to you John 8, right? Once, do you know that once you were serving the devil, but now you serve God. Once you were walking in darkness, and now you're walking in the light. Once you follow your own desire, now you consider, okay, your mind is renewed. You want to live a life that pleases God. Once you were dead, now you are alive. You are now the sons of God. Amen? So ending with the last two verses, which I didn't read just now, verse 12 and 13. So to conclude, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What does that mean? It means, verse 12 means, when you say we are debtors not to the flesh, that means you don't owe anything to the flesh anymore. Jesus already paid it. Already paid. Sudah bayar. Sudah selesai. Sudah dilangsai. Okay, between so on. Your debt has been paid. So you don't owe to the flesh anymore. So don't live as one that's still owing. Can you see that? So if you owe but people something, right? You always on the run on, you're always hiding one. That's why no borrowing. Okay, when you come, when in church, you know, don't borrow. Okay, that's not the practice, right? So if you borrow from the bank, you are slave to the bank, lah. That's what it means. Okay, now, okay, that's the principle. Okay, so which means now we do not owe anything to the flesh. Now we owe everything to the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. Okay, so let's recite this one more time, and then we're gonna pray. What is the gospel? The gospel is, 1, 2, 3, is the good news. God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived, died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, He rose from the dead, proving that He is the Son of God, offers the gift of salvation and the forgiveness to everyone who repents and believes in Him. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands. Even as we begin the Romans chapter 8, the first part, I ask, oh God, Lord, even from now on, we understanding that the privileges that you have given us, that we say no to the flesh, but we say yes to the Holy Spirit. We're no longer a debtor, okay, to the flesh, but now we owe everything to what God has done for us, okay, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I also pray, whoever, Lord, when you hear this message, you know, you're online, you have not come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I encourage you, I exhort you, okay, come and belong, okay, to receive, okay, the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and be the sons of God. I give thanks once again, in Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, amen. Amen. Give Jesus a big hand. Yes, thank you.